The title of the podcast might have caught your attention, and I hope it did. I really hope you are open to hearing what I have to say on this particular topic. This may apply to you, this might not apply to you. It doesn't necessarily apply to everyone, but I think it applies to the majority. And why redo your intro to CrossFit? So this isn't any like, please don't feel this anyone in particular. This is everything I talk about is general unless otherwise stated. Most CrossFit gyms will have an intro package, and it is very important that people go through that process. If you think about learning how to drive a car, you don't just get into a car and drive one, you learn how to drive one. It's the same with fitness. You don't just go into gym and get fit, you learn how to get fit. And you learn those movements and you learn how to apply them. Now, I think what kind of gets, what gets blurred here is that too quickly, and I mean, if I could change the narrative of the industry, then I mean, specifically people's mindsets maybe, then it would really be more beneficial for them. Because I think, I won't mention any names in this, but I actually had a consultation with someone recently, and the intro package that we went through with that individual was based around 5 one-to-one sessions, teaching them a basic element of competence and confidence within within training. Now, they ask very fantastic questions like, how am I expected to learn these in 5? And you're not, but the whole purpose is that you need to learn how to walk before you can run. And the reason I'm saying about is it time to redo or look at those things that redo? Because I think there comes a certain point that, and this is not everyone, right? This is not, doesn't apply to everyone, but I think there comes a certain point where you do eventually stop learning, and it almost feels like you're going through the same process all the time. Because although CrossFit and training can be constantly varied in some way, shape or form, it's all interlinked. But ultimately, this comes down to what you want as an individual. The reason I think it's a good idea to redo intros and redo that learning process is for you to relearn and improve the way that we move. And actually, the fact that you've done it once before and you already know some, you'll most likely know how to do things better because you have a foundation of what you've been doing and what's it versus what's expected, and you can differentiate between the two, have a bit of a baseline. It's gonna help improve better movement. And the thing that people get really lost here is that if you move better, you will become fitter. There's no doubt about that. And the biggest example that I can give, and this is gonna sound really fucking arrogant, but it's how it is. You know my journey for the last 4 years of how training has been really inconsistent, but I would like to say that I move fairly efficiently, pretty good at moving in general, which allows me to, when I, for all the years I've taken part in the Open, still been able to stay within that 1, 2 or 3 mark of doing it. Now, it's not necessarily a big deal, but there's going to be individuals who are much stronger and fitter than the current position I am. But what happens is that strength or that fitness, because of the lack of efficiency of movement, they're only able to apply, for example, for 6-7 minutes, let's just say, right, consistently before it starts to break down, if not sooner. But someone who can move more efficiently, move better, and constantly looking at how to improve their moving, the longer they can move better for, the better result they're going to get out of their workout. And this is something hard to measure or maybe observe in a way, but I know from my own perspective and from my own training, even after doing this for 12 years, 13 years in CrossFit and being in the industry for 15, 16, however long it is now, I can't remember. But I will still look to make sure that I move better. I can feel if something's wrong and I will try to fix it. And it doesn't bother me about the time. So the biggest example I think I can give with this for my personal own training, and maybe yours, is anytime it comes to a jerk, right, a push jerk. Now, when you go super heavy, you will flare your rib cage if you're forgetting your movement pattern, if you're not bracing, if you're not doing the right things, it's natural that you're going to do that. And then you're going to feel that extension in your spine, and you know your hips are going to tilt. But yet we'd be willing to find our ones and two rep maxes or three rep maxes with that position. But what we should be doing is scaling that completely back and get to the point where we find out where we break that position, when we lose. And then that should be our, you know, regardless of whether, yeah, actually the strength element's there, but you're looking at breakdown of technique. Because once that breakdown of technique has happened, you are going to naturally expend more energy, right? So I think the blurred lines here is because we have a fitness goal. We want to lose weight. We want to get stronger. We want to improve our 5K time, whatever it might be. But relearning how to move better is going to just unlock a new dimension. Just like mobility. I had a chat with some of the guys during the week about a mobility workshop that we've done. Like increasing mobility, improving your mobility will just unlock so many new dimensions and chapters, and actually it will help you with improved movement. The two go hand in hand. So imagine if you are someone who's actively trying to improve their movement in training, knowing their body awareness and knowing what the, you know, points of performance are, how we brace, how we pull from the floor, how we push above head, how we go into a kip and arch, etc. Pair that with someone who is actively trying to increase the range of motion at joints and increase length of muscles in terms of flexibility. Wow, all of a sudden, you're unlocking so much to be able to improve on anything. I think that, I mean, we're not going to go and reset our driving test, but if you were to redo your driving tests now, both theory and the actual practical, I think most of us would probably fail. Because learning up to that, you were learning so much, you were reading the book, you were practicing, you were getting ready for the test, right? And then look at the habits that you do now. Well, firstly, you probably use your phone when you're driving. Secondly, your seatbelt might not be on. Thirdly, you don't check your mirrors when you get into your car. Is your seat at the right position? Right? Are you checking blind spots when you're changing lanes, or are you just indicating, checking mirror and then going? I think it was mirror signal maneuver. These are just things that are popping into my head. And I think we can relate that a little bit to fitness, because we go through that intro, whatever we're doing, even if it's jiu-jitsu, anything, there's going to be a basic beginner program that we're going to have to do, right, to learn some of the stuff. And then we go through that learning process, and we try and stay as close to that as possible. And we all done that when driving. As soon as we come out of driving test, we drove pretty much when we were in our lessons and building confidence. But eventually that just gets blurred, because we then just pick up our own habits, and in training that's what we do. We get sidetracked with, we look at weight, we look at RX, we look at scaled, we look at time. And I've always said that one of the biggest flaws, I think, is that people get so obsessed by task completion and how quickly they can do something and not how well they can do something. Because ultimately, in theory, you're not actually rewarded for how well you can do something, but you can be rewarded for how fast you do something, and that's obviously part of competition. I think if you want to idolize someone in terms of one of the original OG CrossFitters, I think the best person to look at, I think for movement, is probably Rich Froning. I think he moves very, very, very well. I'm just trying to think of the gymnastic element to that. But certainly from weightlifting perspective, and if you look at his early videos, he didn't, but you can just see over the, if you go back for 2014, 15, 16, 17, you can just see the level of maturity that happens and how much he's improved. Because he's coming away. So his obviously goal in that, over those years, was to win, right? Win, become the fittest man on earth. So in order to do that, he had to learn how to move better, because he had to reserve the amount of energy expending so that he could perform in X, Y, Z. But as I said, we get blurred lines regarding our fitness goal and what it is, you know, sidetracked of, well, if I move better, or I'm going to chase this workout full time, I want to get this done as fast as I can, I've got something to rush off to. But we then lose this whole perspective of improving our movement. Now, the other thing that I want you to think about is that if you're someone who has got injuries, whether it be knee, shoulder, hip, etc., that is from a lack of good movement. So that is from poor movement. So I still stick to this thing that if we were to improve the way that we move, we would probably cut our injuries in half, if not more. So if you are someone, and this is a challenge for you, if you are someone who does have those niggles, whether it be, and I'm, that speaks for myself, like I told you that over the, you know, my injury that I had, and that was ultimately down to an element of poor movement to some degree. A breakdown in technique over time, chronic, whatever, and then you get that kind of like, you know, sharp pain, and then you get all the symptoms as inflammation, whatever it might be. But if you are the person that has knee, hip, back, shoulder, wrist, whatever, I task you for the next 90 days, the next 3 months, to strip everything from your, let's say, from what your outcomes, and make your sole outcome to move better. So you can, for example, take a video of your squat side on profile, foot straight, full on, and from behind. You can take a video, you can take a picture, and do the things that are required to help improve that. So look at moving better through your own movement pattern, look at moving better through unlocking new ways of moving in terms of range of motion, flexibility. 3 months, retest that. That's just one thing. That's just a squat. That could be anything. It could be something overhead. It could be a clean. It could be a snatch. It could be jerk, whatever. But if you were to apply the fact that you want to move as best as you could in everything that you do, fine, there might be an element that you might have to go lighter. You might not be able to go as fast. But ultimately, how long do you want to do this for? And the theme of these podcasts are pretty much the same. I feel like the message is always going to be the same of longevity and fitness. And I don't know how, you know, as I said, the last few weeks, how many different ways I'm trying to get that message out there. But that is one way, right, of getting it to you. That if you change in perspective of what you're trying to get out of training, and actually the rest will come, because I'm fairly confident. I can't promise you, because ultimately the work is down to what you do, right? I can only make the promise if I like take that commitment, if I'm going to do it. But we're talking about you here. You can only do it if you're willing to make those small little sacrifices in order to gain. It's like a bow and arrow, right? You pull that arrow back, or that bow rather, and it feels like you're taking a few steps back. But once you let go, you're flying. You are way ahead of everyone else. And that will soon come with time and patience. And you'll slowly start to see that, because other people will be left behind. There aren't many. However, it is improving. The number of people that are taking more pride in how they move is becoming greater, because I think people are wanting to invest more time and money to some degree to better ways of health. I think they're understanding that health comes in many different forms, and it's not just about fitness in terms of being in the gym and like training. It's health can also be, you know, measured in terms of like how capable you are to do certain other things, you know, through later on in life, health markers, or like there's just, I'm probably not articulating the way that I want to, but I understand what I'm saying. Hopefully you understand what I'm getting at. There's loads of different ways to do that. You have to ask yourself the question, what position do you want to be in the future? And if that is, I don't care, then this, what I'm saying is not for you. I'd probably encourage you to switch off, and whether it be unsubscribe or just not listen, maybe listen to someone else that can relate to you. But if you are someone that does care, then you have to start taking those small steps. And to be honest, you're probably not going to lose fitness. And the reason I say that is goes back to a little bit of like kind of scaling, because if you're able to move better, or if you're able, if you're looking at improving the way that you move, and it means that you have to go lighter, for example, then in theory, because you're at a lighter weight and you're able to move better, you should in turn go faster, which means that you would accumulate more fitness. And if we look at like fitness under the curve, so if you put time and power on your axes, and you know, 0 to 2 minutes, the power is nice and high. If we put power from 0 to 10, power is at 10. But obviously, as the duration of your workout goes, the curve becomes a little, you know, goes a little lower. So 8, 7, we go to a 20-minute workout, the power is like 2. Everything that's under that is fitness. Now, hopefully you can see that. If you were to draw that out, draw your graph, X and Y, time power on your X and Y, I think, is the horizontal one, I think. So time on your X, Y is your horizontal, which would be power. No, other way around. The vertical one is your power, 0 to 10, right? That's your vertical one. Horizontal, fucking hell, is your Y, I believe. God, I'm so sorry if you're listening to this. That's your time. If you were to go to and draw a dot at, do your power 0 to 10 and do your time 0 to 20. Okay, 0 to 20 across the bottom. If you were to put those in increments of 2, so 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, if you were to draw, put a dot at power 10 and time 2, and then time 10, power 5, and then time 2, power 2, you'll have, and then curve that, you'll then see that fitness is created under that curve. Now, if you're working at 7 minutes, for example, and you're trying to create X amount of power, so let's say you base that on a 1 RM and you go at 70%, if you meet those 2 points at the middle, it will tell you how that you're working way out of fitness. And CrossFit actually have a diagram about this, and I hope what I'm telling you actually makes sense, right? So there's going to be a big gap between where you should be working and where you currently are working, right? Hopefully, I really haven't confused you. I'm starting to confuse myself. I haven't done it for such a long time of explaining it in that particular way. It's hard, actually, when I'm not drawing it to you. I think that might be a little bit easier. But that's a very good way to monitor how fitness improvement. Obviously, the fitter you get, that curve is extended because you're then going to be able, and this is obviously dependent on each individual, your strengths and weaknesses, but you're going to be able to increase your power over more time. And that's great because then you've achieved more fitness. So your curve gets bigger. So everything that happens under the curve is greater than what it was when you first started. And eventually that curve just gets bigger and bigger and you completely, you know, at your fittest. But I hope that makes sense. It went a little bit off topic, but it's on the same thing. So they're the reasons I give you for possibly having to rethink of maybe, you know, taking that time to, you know, and you don't have to do it yourself. There's, you know, as a team, we'll help you. If you're someone who's listening that is not part of us, you can always reach out to us. We're always going to be a help. But if it's not us that help, just make sure someone can help you move the best that you're able to move. And I think the biggest thing is also patience, because you're not going to get it straight away, right? There's going to be an adjustment that you'll get and you'll do, but you need to do that consistently, and it's reinforcing those and forgetting the 3, 2, 1 and that you're against time or you need to do rounds. It's not about that. It's, let's say you have an AMRAP of 15, how much of that 15 minutes can you move well for? Because you're then going to expend the less amount of energy, which means that you can do more in that given time frame. I think I've talked in circles now and confusing everyone, but I hope not. I hope it makes sense. So for me, focus on better movement. Spend the next 90 days learning how to move better, relearning those things, and don't feel like you're going backwards in your training. It will be like a bow and arrow slingshot. You'll fly through past the people that surround you. But take pride in the way you move. I've said that since day one. And if you can do that, you're going to reap the rewards of your investment, or you're going to get a better return of investment in your health and fitness, because your body will serve you better. Until next week, see you soon.